Let's see what God has for us this morning. Get into His Word. We've got a ton of scriptures, like always. I love to go through God's Word and show you how it's in lots of different places in the Bible. It's not just one isolated event or scripture that we're taking out of context. We're just going to look at the whole thing. And so let's get into this. Today at the Oasis, we're going to talk about freedom or bondage. And again, it's listed as a question, freedom or bondage with a question mark. So we're wondering, this is the third part in this. This is kind of going to be the final part of it for this series. But just want you to ask yourself this, even during the message if you want, but think about it, freedom or bondage. I believe we have a part to play in that, on what we choose on it, because God's already done His part, right? Jesus hanging on a cross says it is finished. So God did something, and now it's up to us. We do some choosing here, whether we're going to choose to walk in that freedom or continue to allow that bondage to be a part of our life, and we're just going to incorporate that in with the freedom. We're free, but you know, it's like I've said before, it's kind of like having a, you know, some of you can relate to a car payment, but you have a car payment that's all paid off, and yet you continue making payments. Doesn't make sense, right? But a lot of people are still doing that, and that's where this comes from. We're going to look at that bondage and how it draws people back. So today at the Oasis, Freedom or Bondage, Part 3. Father, we love You, we praise You, we're grateful for the love that You have for us. Lord, I pray that this morning as we open Your scriptures, that You pour out from heaven upon us an understanding deeper than what we came in with, Lord. That we grow in our faith, we grow in our understanding of Jesus, we grow in grace, we grow in our knowledge and understanding of the Lord Jesus Christ, who You are, what You've done, what You're continuing to do in our life, and that, Lord, we can grow as Christians, grow in faith towards You, Father. We love You, we praise You, and thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So this week we're going to look a little bit at how the law despises grace, okay? Now, we've talked about the law and the bondage. That's the whole bondage part. But that law despises grace, and it actually tries to draw people back into it. I always quote that one in Galatians where Paul says, who has bewitched you or who has deceived you to go back under the law? You were saved by faith. Why are you going back under the law? In Galatians, I believe it's chapter 3 says that. So somebody mentioned even on Wednesday night, I think Pam brought up, somebody had asked, you know, about, or we're talking about a relation, going to church, and said, you know what? Sometimes when I go to church, I kind of like the one I go to because they preach like fire and brimstone stuff. And by the time you leave, you kind of feel like you've been at church, right? You're feeling like you just got yelled at. Now you can go out the door. You know how much of a bad person you are. And now you can go out and try to fix it, right? You have something to do versus under grace, like a lot of the stuff I teach. I'm not going to have you walk away feeling condemned and guilty like you're some bad person. Jesus bore our punishment on the cross. He bore our punishment. God looks at you and doesn't see your sin. He sees that robe of righteousness that you put on by your faith in Jesus. So I think that people are still, and I said this in the beginning, that people are still missing the gist of the New Testament. You know, the gist of the gospel of Jesus. It's good news. It was the gospel of Jesus Christ, right? It's the good news. It's something that, you know, God has done, and a lot of times they're relating it back to something in the, that they've heard of before. Now, how many people heard of the Ten Commandments? How many people heard of Moses? You know, pretty much anybody you ask could actually name a couple of the Ten Commandments because it's been publicized, it's been on TV. Anybody ever seen the Ten Commandments? Who's that? Hugh Hef? Not Hefner? No. Seeing if you're listening. Who was it? Charlton Heston. There you go. Right? It was one of those guys. Okay. It'd be funny if Hugh Hefner did it, but. Anyway, but a lot of us have seen those kind of things. Every year at Easter, they show that a lot, right? Ten Commandments is on about every channel, every other day. And they really, you get that point across about the Old Covenant and the Old Testament laws. There has been some about Jesus. There's movies out, and there's a few good ones. I've seen the one, I think it's out of the Gospel of Luke, where they actually, Jesus is not some stern religious guy, but he's actually kind of like you would imagine him, I would imagine him to be, but more loving. And, you know, like, hey, Peter, come on, man. You know, and grabs them and goes and does things together that way rather than, you silly fool, you know, and kind of make him religious. But anyway, so we've seen a lot about the Old Testament stuff. We've seen a lot about Ten Commandments, but we're really missing the New Testament, the gist of what God did through the gospel of Christ. It's that message of hope. The New Testament is full of references to the Old Testament, though, right? There's lots of, you can read, and pretty much if you have little side notes in your Bible, it'll point you to an Old Testament scripture, point you towards something that it was relating to. They talk about it, but nowhere, and in fact, if you want to open up your Bibles, turn to the chapter and verse where it says that thou, in the New Testament, where it says that thou shalt keep the Old Testament laws. Just open up to that. See if you can find that in there. It's just really not there. There's nothing in there that says thou shalt keep the Old Testament laws to be right with God. There's nothing in the New Testament that says that. It's just something that we kind of imply. We think it was under the old, it was the Ten Commandments. We got to keep this stuff. We got to do these. The writer of Hebrews actually described many of the Old Testament folks, describing them and describes their story that we can read about how what they did was actually done in faith. Just a lot like the stuff that we would do. He talked about Abel and Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, even Moses. He said, by faith, they did certain things. And they, by faith, you know, the Red Sea opened up. By faith, they stepped out and did these things. By faith, God said it spared Noah and his family because by faith, Noah built an ark having not seen what was yet to come. He didn't even know exactly how it was going to come to pass. All he knew was that God said, go do this, and he did it. Okay, that's faith. Bible says that he became an heir of righteousness by that faith. Okay. By faith, Abraham went out into a land that he knew not. Didn't know where he was going, but he went simply because God said go. Okay. Again, he went out by faith. We know Abraham is called the father of faith. He is made righteous by faith, not by keeping of laws. Even Moses' parents are described as those who walk by faith because they hid Moses for 3 months. Not really knowing exactly why, but God said do it, so they did. And so they became just because of keeping that, because of doing that. The plan for God today is that we're saved by faith in his plan. Because God will speak and he's spoken, right? New Testament, words of Christ in red, whatever you got. It's in there, that new covenant, the New Testament. That was his plan, that we're saved by faith now, and it changed the game. We're saved not by doing outward things, but by believing by faith. So I don't know about you, I don't need physical evidence to believe in God. Okay, I don't have to see the water pots that Jesus turned water into wine to believe that Jesus did that. I don't have to see the fish that Peter pulled out with the money in. And I don't have to see a petrified fish in a museum somewhere to believe that that actually happened, because I believe by faith. And nobody has to prove to me creation or some of those things. I believe by faith. I trust that, man, God said it. It's in his word. That's all I got to know. And I believe that's where these guys were. They believed by faith. And they were saved by their faith. Going under the law is actually, you know, the keeping of the do's and don't kind of stuff is actually an expression of doubt. And I'll explain this to you. To go back to what you can physically do on the outside is to make, you know, to make yourself look good or to make yourself even feel good. Sometimes if I have something I can do, give me a list of three things, I can knock it off, you check it off, I'm good, I did it. Okay? Sometimes it makes you feel good to do some of that or to try to make yourself look holy. It means that your flesh is beginning to rule over your spirit. Now, if you remember, it talks in John about, you know, that you're born of the Spirit, right? We're born again, born of the Spirit. You're born into this realm where now you are Spirit-led, where you can follow the governing of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit of God now will lead and guide you to do the right things. And so if we're getting into what I can do physically, naturally, we're stepping away from walking in the Spirit into walking by the flesh. We're walking according to our flesh. Okay? To do that, we're actually stepping away from faith. You know that the Bible says that all whose godliness is found in Christ and not in their own efforts will be persecuted for that. There's a scripture, we'll start, I guess, 2 Timothy 3:12, which is where it says that. It says, yea, all they that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Okay, that in Christ Jesus means all those that have put their faith in him. Now I can do the outward stuff. I can, you know, keep a set of rules to try to be holy and look good on the outside, and I may get persecuted for it, but I guarantee you, if you're in Christ, if you're following by faith, you're going to have people say, you're weird, man. You got some strange things going on. How can you believe that? You've never seen that. What do you mean God speaks to you? You know, what do you mean, you know, you heard God say? That doesn't make sense, because they're thinking with a natural mind. They can't comprehend that. It's hard. So if you're walking by faith in Christ Jesus, you will be persecuted for it. This is what I'm going to show you today. The law actually hates grace. Okay? Grace is unmerited favor. It's a blessing of God, not something you did or earned. It's just something God gives. Okay? The law doesn't like that, and I'll show you why. Knowing that the law will persecute grace, we have to hold fast to faith. Now, Paul, the Apostle Paul, was criticized. He was ridiculed for walking in faith. He's telling people, you're saved by grace. You're saved by faith in the Lord Jesus. And he was criticized for it. Even, he was in prison, but ultimately, even by other believers, people were questioning him, saying, how can it be? How can that be possible? Okay, this is now 2,000 years later, and people are still putting down grace. They still don't get it. They're still thinking, that just can't be. We just have to do more than that. Look at another scripture in Romans chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. It says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Okay? The law still has its purpose in God's plan. It still has I'm not going to throw out the New Testament. I'm not going to throw away the Old Covenant at all. But it has a plan. But God says, now, we're not to be ashamed of the New Testament. Don't be ashamed of walking in the gospel of Christ. Don't be ashamed to tell people about salvation through Jesus alone. It's just by faith in Him. You know, don't line out, well, yeah, that and you have to do this, this, and this. That's what most people do. But to walk by faith is pure. That's just walking in the faith towards Jesus. I'm not ashamed of that. That's what God said. We are saved by faith. We walk in it. Okay? Now, that law still having a purpose and a plan, it's going to reveal the sin in the lives of those who haven't yet received the forgiveness of their sins. I'm forgiven today. Not perfect in every way on the outside, but I am forgiven. And I know that. Now, the law has its place. It's going to show people their need for grace. Right? It's going to show you that you need something miraculous from God, or you're not going to make it. You can't do the right things. You can't do enough over and over again to make it happen. You really, really need the grace. Look at Romans a few chapters later in 3:19. It says, now we know that the things whatsoever the law says, it says to them that are under the law. Remember that word under. That every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Okay, therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in God's sight. For by the law is simply the knowledge of sin. But now, okay, 2,000 years later, now in the grace and the new covenant, now the righteousness of God without the law or apart from the law is manifested, being witnessed or foretold by the law and the prophets. This is even the righteousness of God, which is simply by faith in Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. Okay, there's not one person that is born righteous. We're not born into, you know, just perfection. Okay, we're not born that way. The whole world is born into sin, the Bible says. Born with a need for a Savior, but without receiving their Savior, they remain under the law, the judgment of the law. Okay? The law is definitely has its purpose. It's not for the righteous. It's for the lost. It's for the unrighteous. Through Jesus Christ, grace came and revealed the righteousness that comes apart from or without the law. Okay? It is obtained by faith and not by works. Go a little further in Romans chapter 5, verse 1. It says, therefore, being justified by faith, we now have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by this faith into this grace wherein we now stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. See, we are justified by faith. It is not something we made up or that, you know, this is God's word several times saying the same thing. We're saved by faith. We're saved by grace. We're saved by Him doing what He needed to do. Trying to obtain right standing with God or righteousness by keeping a list of do's and don'ts is a fallacy. It's impossible. It can't be done. But yet people think it can be done, so they try it until they fail, and then maybe, hopefully, they'll see that they still need a Savior. Or if they're Christians and trying to do that eventually, hopefully, they'll understand that you cannot do it and you need to just accept the grace that's been given. You know, sometimes that keeping a list might sound good. It might even temporarily make you feel good. Oh, I checked my list off today. I feel great. Until the next day when you don't get them all done, and then you're guilty again. And now you're back and forth, flip-flopping. Okay, back and forth. The unstable man, unstable in their mind. Okay, but it might sound good. It might temporarily make you feel good as long as you're adhering to it. But it is impossible to put yourself in any better place by doing those things. Now, we went bowling. We took the boys out. They had a couple friends over. And We took them bowling the other night. And there was a family there that obviously went to a church that has some legalism, and the women couldn't wear jeans, they couldn't wear pants, and apparently no jewelry. Okay, and so those are a couple of the rules that that church has. Those are a couple on their list, right? As long as I don't wear earrings today, check it off, right? Okay, well, it's hard because, you know, it's not going to put them in any better place with God by doing that. By wearing a dress, you know, man, it's just not going to make you any better with God. And yet it's in the Christian's mind sometimes that that's going to make me better, that I'm now holier because I'm doing these certain things that I'm checking off my list every day. Okay, now it doesn't help please to God in any way. It doesn't give them any more favor to have an outward show of holiness. Okay, it doesn't help in any way. What it does do is it makes people able to compare themselves to someone else. Like to compare themselves to that heathen wife of that pastor over there that's wearing both jeans and a diamond on her finger. Okay, now you see how they can compare, and I'm better than that because at least I'm not wearing jeans and a ring on my finger like that. Okay, so it opens the door for that pride, for people to be able to puff themselves up in kind of a self-righteousness that I do this and they don't, so I must be okay and they're not. Okay, it makes them able to compare like for against my wife, and they can feel like they're better than she is, but in God's eyes, what they're doing is really an evidence of doubt. It really means that I don't trust in that plan that God came up with, that it's all through Jesus that we're saved, that my righteousness is based on His. They don't believe that by faith, so they're going to do these outward things to try to add to that. Like God's plan wasn't sufficient, like it wasn't enough to accomplish what He needed to do. So they have evidence of doubt in their life, doubting the plan of God. You know, it's something that people can do to make themselves feel more righteous, but if it's faith that pleases God, and it tells us that in Hebrews, faith pleases God, then doing all those things isn't going to help them in any way, shape, or form. Their attempt to obtain righteousness by their flesh is actually displeasing to God because it shows that they're not walking in faith, and that which is not of faith is sin, the Bible says. Okay, so let's look at Romans chapter 9, verse 31. It says, Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, has not obtained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore, why? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. For they stumbled at that stumbling stone, as it is written, Behold, I lay in Sion a stumbling stone and rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. We don't want to stumble over Jesus. Jesus was the plan of God. And that's what He's saying, that they stumbled at Jesus. They couldn't get over the fact that Jesus was the plan, that He was the Son of God, that by faith in Him we're saved. They couldn't get over that. So they tried to continue to obtain it on their own. If I could just keep these laws and maybe believe on Jesus, then they would be okay. But it's saying that they were not able to obtain righteousness because they were trying to keep the law or use the law as a means of getting to that. Okay? We don't want to stumble over Jesus. We want to believe and receive and accept His completed work. Jesus is the plan of God for your salvation. Jesus is the plan of God for your righteousness. How do you walk uprightly? How do you quit doing that junk? It's all about Jesus. It's about believing and receiving and accepting that plan that God had through Him. Now, you remember we started this called Freedom or Bondage with a question mark. But we started by looking at Abraham and Sarah and Ishmael and Isaac and their whole story about how Isaac and Ishmael were born, and that Isaac ended up, he was a promise of God, received by faith. God spoke to him, said this is going to happen. They didn't have to really do a whole lot. Eventually it did happen, right? After they had tried to do it on their own, right? That's the Ishmael. They tried on their flesh, man, God's not doing this. It's been 10 years. I got to just make this happen. He's probably wanting you to have relations with my Egyptian handmaid. Go ahead and do that. And they came up and they thought it was a great plan, but it didn't work out so good. Okay? Ishmael represents the law and bondage, and Isaac ends up representing grace and faith. Okay? Now we're going to read about this back in the New Testament. You can read Old and New. But we'll read, if we go back and read that story of Ishmael and Isaac, that we see that the bondage ended up despising the freedom. It didn't like the grace. It didn't like the freedom, the faith. Okay, look at Galatians chapter 4, verse 28. It says, Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. We are children of faith, right? But as then, he that was born after the flesh, Ishmael, persecuted him that was born after the spirit, even so it is now. Okay, so grace and bondage, bondage persecuted the grace back then, and he's doing it again now. Bondage does not like the freedom that we live in. Okay, so God had given the promise to Sarah. She conceives, then she gives birth to Isaac, and then this is what happened after that. Genesis 21:9. Sarah saw the son of Hagar, saw the son of Hagar the Egyptian, which she had borne unto Abraham, mocking. Okay, so that means that Ishmael was mocking Isaac. He saw him, this is quite a few years later, and down on him, putting him down. Grace was mocking, or being mocked. Grace was being mocked by the legalism. Okay, the bondage was scoffing and laughing at the grace because he thought he was better. Okay, that's just like people do today. The bondage, those that are really bound up in legalism, are really going to look down on people that are walking in the freedom of grace. Okay, they don't understand it. How can you not be keeping this list? How can you? You're not near as good as I am. Look at all the things I'm doing. And they will begin to put that down, criticize it. That's not acceptable. You're walking by what? Faith? You know, and they're not walking by faith. They're walking by law. They're walking by the do's and the don'ts. Legalism is rooted in self-righteousness. It's about making themselves look good, puffed up, whatever I can do. Look at me, I'm doing it better than you. It is a very self-centered and prideful way to live your Christian life. Okay? Legalism is about comparison. It's about comparing yourself to others and then basing your value on that. You know, I'm better than they are because I didn't do that. I'm better than they are because I do this. Okay? And so it's a way of comparing. Legalists are going to tell you, though, that they're not comparing. They're going to say, we're not comparing ourselves to other people. We're just adhering to the laws of God, and you're not. Okay? We just adhere to it, and you don't. Okay? So that's that pride. It makes it so that they are better because they keep these certain things, even though we just read and we're going to read again, the law has been done away. So they're going to tell you that they need to know, even though that they're reading scriptures and they'll be able to tell you what they're standing on, that grace supersedes the law. Okay, the grace has overtaken the law as a means of righteousness. We look at the scriptures every day at the beginning of the service. We're saved by faith, not in the law. Okay, Ishmael was a work of Abraham. Okay, we'll go back to Ishmael and Isaac. Ishmael was a work of Abraham and Sarah's flesh. Right? It was something they came up with their own plan. Ishmael thought Isaac was simply too easy. Okay, just too easy. It's by faith, you know, whatever. He thought Isaac was kind of like an oops, right? He didn't really know when he was coming and all that. Ishmael was planned out. It was a planned event. They decided, oh yeah, we need to do this and this, and then we're going to have this baby. We're going to call him. His name is Ishmael. And so they did that. Okay, it was too easy for Isaac to come. So the legalism looked at the grace and said, it's too easy. Ishmael was planned and carried out by the flesh and not by faith like Isaac was. You know, it's a lot like people today that are going to mock and criticize those who live by or that preach grace. I've heard grace preachers even called heretics and other things because that just can't be. How can you just throw that away and not live under that? I'm going to tell you, that's pretty easy to do. Even when the grace people that believe and follow in grace are living it out, okay? You can look at somebody who's really living out a grace-filled life and their life is not full of junk. It's not full of, you know, a bunch of what people call sin. It's not full of that because they're living by freedom. They live free from that control of that dominance that says, you know, you can't do this, you can't do that, and therefore every time you do something, then you're condemned. When you live in freedom, you're able to walk away from that. So people that are bound up, controlled by the law, oftentimes live a joyless life. They end up despising the freedom that people who understand grace walk in, even though these people are living a life that glorifies God. You know, they're living a life that is pleasing unto God because they're living by faith. They're not giving in to sins, temptations. They're just living by faith in God, trusting in Him. It's a proven fact that if you heap a bunch of don'ts on people, that they're even more likely to be tempted by those things. You remove the strength of sin, and I think I threw a scripture at the very end here, that the strength of sin is the law. Throw away the law, get rid of the law, and sin loses its strength. It doesn't have that pull to be able to pull people into it anymore. Okay? So Sarah, seeing Ishmael mocking Isaac, perceives what is going on. She kind of sees the situation, and she says something to Abraham, Genesis 21:10. Wherefore she says unto Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. Okay, do you understand that? Wherefore she says to Abraham, cast out Hagar and Ishmael. Cast out the bondage, in other words, cast it away, and says he will not be heir. In other words, he will not receive of all that is due to be received through faith. Okay, remember, Isaac was a promise by faith, and through him, Abraham was going to be the father of many nations. He was the plan. So through faith, you're going to inherit. But she says the bondwoman and the son are not going to inherit that with us. They won't be able to do that. They are representing of that bondage and the law. Okay, by faith, we receive the promises and not by works of the flesh. So even though Abraham, like you and I, father of faith, we lived by faith, we believed, we trusted in God. But even like you and I, being a man or woman of faith, it was not easy for Abraham to let go of the law. It was not easy for him to let go of that bondage. If you remember that story, for you and I to fully accept the freedom that God wants us to have, freedom from guilt, freedom from condemnation, it may be hard for you, and it may even kind of grieve you to have to let that go. I know people that just can't do it, man. I've watched them for 20, 30 years as a Christian, and they still got to have certain laws, certain rules that they're keeping to make themselves feel good about their relationship from God. It's too hard for them. It grieves them to even think about letting it go. Look at the next verse here, 21:11. It says, and the thing was to, for her to say, cast out the bondwoman. This thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son. This was his offspring, right? I mean, this was still part of him. It was still something that he knew of. He watched him. He raised him. He was a part of his life. To cast him out was grievous for him to do that. That son was something that he had produced. But look at what God then says next to faith. Look at what God says to faith. 21:12. God said unto Abraham, let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad and because of the bondwoman. In all that Sarah has said unto thee, hearken unto her voice, for in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Okay, now he's saying your future is not in the bondage of that legalism or the bondage with the Egyptian. Your future is not in that. Your future is in faith. Your future is in grace. Your future is coming. God says to him, it's okay to let go of the bondage. It's okay to cast that out. It's okay to let it go. God is saying that, I believe, to you today, that whatever bondage that you're still cleaving to, it's okay to set that aside, to let it go. Get that away from you. Get it out of your household like these guys were doing with the bondage. They had to get it out. He says, in grace and faith is where your future is. Okay, in Isaac shall thy seed be called. In grace is where your seed shall be called. That's where our future is. Okay? We got to let go of that control that sin has. Let go of the bondage with, works-orientated Christianity. Okay, that performance mentality. I got to do more, be better, do this, do that. Then I'll obtain this. Then God will bless me. Then I shall have this. You let go of that mentality. Let go of that works mentality, and it loses its control over you, so that you can live out the life as a believer, as a child of God. Now, you notice that God didn't say, though, that the son of the bondwoman was evil. He didn't say that he was a bad guy or that there was no use for him or that there was no purpose or plan for his life. Just the opposite. In Genesis 21:13, the very next verse, and also he says, the son of the bondwoman will I make a nation. Okay, so he says, go ahead and cast out the bondwoman and her son, for in Isaac shall your seed be called. But then he says, and also the son of the bondwoman, of him will I also make a nation, because he is still thy seed. So we didn't say there was no purpose or plan for the bondage. There's no purpose or plan for the law. He said, you simply need to cast that out. And I'll show you, what is the purpose that God had for the law? What is the purpose that God had? God had a purpose in it, and it is to help us to understand. Well, let me explain this. God had a purpose for Ishmael just like he does for the purpose of the law today. The law is for the judgment of the lost. It is for those that have not yet received and believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. They have not been washed clean of their sin. They still live under the old covenant. They still live under that old law. It hasn't gone away in that sense. It is done away by faith in Jesus. You are justified. By faith in Jesus, we are redeemed and bought back. It's by faith and through grace that we're saved, the Bible says. So if we're not in that, It's still there for the judgment of the lost. It is for the unrighteous. It is for those who have not received the grace to be able to see their, and for them to be able to see their unrighteousness. Look at Romans 7:7. It says, "What shall we say then? Is the law of God sin? God forbid. No, I had not known sin, but by the law. For I had not known lust, except the law said, thou shalt not covet." He's saying it definitely has a purpose to reveal sin. I had not known sin, had not known what it was, unless God told me right from wrong. Okay, then look at 1 Timothy 1:8. Here's a different book, almost exact same sentence. It says, "But we know that the law is good if a man uses it lawfully, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and the disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers, murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine." So we don't throw the law away. We don't say that it has no purpose at all. It absolutely has a purpose to reveal the sin of somebody's life. How are they going to know that they're out of line if they don't know that the laws of God? You ever seen, some of you have seen the, there's a show where a couple, Kirk Cameron and a couple other guys go out and they actually preach the Ten Commandments to the lost, okay, to reveal unto them that they have the need. You know, have you ever committed adultery? And they say, no. And they say, well, have you ever looked at someone with lust in your eyes? Well, yeah, I've done that. Oh, guilty. And they show them right off of the list, right off of the 10, that, yep, guilty, guilty, guilty. And they're doing that to the lost, though not to Christians. So we don't want to throw the law away. Jesus Christ came and he fulfilled it in its entirety for the believer so that we can now live under the new covenant and that new relationship with God. Now, the old covenant is still in full effect for those who have not believed on Christ. The lost will stand before God and receive the punishment for their sin. They will stand before God and be judged according to their works. The worst of which, obviously, of that judgment is eternal separation from God. It says in Romans that the wages of sin is death, or eternal separation from God. Okay, the lost are going to be judged according to their works, not the believer, not the righteous, not the just. The just are living by faith. The law then is a guide to reveal the need for a Savior. Go back to Galatians chapter 3. It says, "Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law which could have been given that would have given life, verily righteousness would have been by the law. But the scripture has concluded all under sin so that the promise by faith in Jesus might be given to them that believe. For before faith came, before we believed on Jesus, we were kept up under, shut up under the law, shut up under the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was simply our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ so that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith has come, after we believe on Jesus, we're no longer under a schoolmaster, for you are all the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ." Okay? It is not of the flesh, it is by faith in Jesus Christ. Okay, so the law is not what gets you or keeps you right with God. God does not look at you as a believer through the eyes of the law anymore. He's not looking to judge you and condemn you for all the things you've done wrong. That was already paid for by Christ. You believe that. That was the plan of God. That's what he did for us. The old covenant is still in I said that faith has come out of this. Okay, faith has cast out the bondage. Faith has put it out. Okay, in Isaac shall thy seed be called, not in the bondage. So cast out the bondage. Get rid of it. Get it away from you. Okay, faith has cast out the bondage. The law is not capable of helping you inherit the promises anymore. By faith and patience, we inherit the promise. By faith and patience, we inherit from God. That's what it says in Hebrews. By keeping the law shall no flesh be justified. Galatians chapter 2, verse 16 says that. It says, "Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith in Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified." You can't get there that way. We got to set it aside, cast it aside, cast it away, not forgetting what its purpose is. Ishmael, God had a purpose for Ishmael. He was going to raise a great nation of him, and he did. But he had to set it aside. We're not living under that anymore. We're not living under the law, but we're living under grace. Now, that word under is very descriptive. If you think about what it means to be under something, it means to be under the authority of that, to be under the control of that. Okay? It is either one or the under, you're gonna, one or the other. You're going to be under the control of the law, trying to keep all these, or you're going to be under the control of grace, unmerited favor of God, the Spirit of God able to move in you and upon your heart to get you to do the right things. Now, we're living not under the law, but under grace. Okay? To be controlled by someone or something is a very helpless and hopeless place to be if you're not controlled by grace. If you're under the law, you're still under the bondage of that, you're going to feel heavy inside. If you're, think of this, if you're controlled by an addiction, it has a grip on you. It has a hold on you that makes you to do things when you don't want to do it, or to be a part of, or to go that direction, even though you don't want to. That's the control that goes by being under something, by being under its grasp. Being under the hand of a very controlling person is pretty discouraging. Now, you're always feeling insecure. You're always feeling worrisome. You're always feeling defeated. You're always feeling like you don't measure up. Okay, that's being under that law. You're going to feel that heaviness in your heart. But being under grace, God gives you the freedom to live the life that He's called you to. He will bless you beyond your wildest dreams because it's not based on you and your performance, but based on Him and His. This is what God intended. It's what He wanted to do for you. It's based on His love for you. Grace is undeserved. It's unearned. It's not something you did to make it happen. It's just God saying, I want to give this to you, and you just have to receive it. That's what He asked us to do. It's like, even last week, the only thing that would hinder the favor of God in your life is doubting that He wants to give it to you. That's why I talk about God, the way God sees you. See yourself the way He sees you, because He sees you as precious. He sees you as His child. Man, I just want to bless my child. I just want to give him everything. And that's His attitude towards us. But if we say, no, God doesn't want to give it to me. God doesn't want me to have that. God is restricting this and doing that and doing it. No, then it's going to hold that back because we're giving in to doubt. Your faith is what swings the door open for God to bless you, because I trust in God's plan, man. I'm just trusting Jesus is everything, man. I'm going after it. This is the plan of God, and God can just pour those into your life. Seeing yourself as unworthy comes from seeing yourself as still under the law. If you start feeling guilty and condemned that I'm not worthy of God to bless, God won't bless me because I messed up yesterday. God won't bless me today because I was thinking bad thoughts, or God did, you know, won't do this. If we start thinking that, it's because we've gone back under the law. We've gone under the control of that, thinking that it's based on me and my performance. It's based on how good I am, depending on how much God is actually going to bless us. You are not under the law anymore. You are under grace. Now think about being under grace, being under the undeserved favor of God, being underneath the hand of God, that it's just by faith. It's not by something I have to do. I just believe on Him and trust in Him. And by being under that grace, we receive the things of God. Amen. Father, we praise You this morning. Father, I'm grateful for that love that You have for us, Lord. I pray that we get this so deep in us, Lord, that it will change the way that we live our life. Lord, that we won't feel bad, we won't feel down and guilty all the time, but Lord, we can open ourselves up to receive the blessing that You have for us. Let's, Father, just get it into us that it's based on You, not on us. That, Father, that Your hand is sufficient, that all that You've done was sufficient for us. Your grace is sufficient. The work that You have already completed is done. It's a done deal, Father, that we can just believe on You, that we can trust in You, that we can just receive it as Your precious children, made Your children by faith in Jesus Christ, being justified by faith, being redeemed by faith, being made whole by faith. Father, we trust You, we praise You, and we thank You in the name of Jesus our Lord. Amen. Amen. God